Hallo, schön, dass du da bist und herzlich willkommen im Pferdogs Podcast. Ich bin Tine, Trainerin und Verhaltensberaterin für Hunde und ihre Menschen in Regensburg und online, und ich habe mich in den letzten Jahren auf das Thema Trennungsstress spezialisiert. In dieser Folge stelle ich Marlena De Martini 5 Fragen zum Thema Trennungsstress. Sie ist die Autorin des Standardwerks über das Trennungsstresstraining, das im Jahr 2020 erschienen ist. Und sie kommt am 16.11. virtuell nach Deutschland für ein Webinar. Wenn du dabei sein möchtest, dann schreib mir gerne eine E-Mail an tine@fairdogs.de, und du kannst dir auch alle Informationen zum Webinar auf meiner Website und im Facebook-Event anschauen. Da liste ich auch nochmal genau auf, welche Übersetzungshilfen ich für diejenigen anbiete, die sich jetzt nicht ganz sicher sind, ob ihre Englischkenntnisse für das Webinar ausreichen. Im Anschluss an das Webinar wird es auch eine Fragerunde geben, in der die TeilnehmerInnen Marlena live Fragen stellen können. Da ich das Interview in dieser Podcast-Folge mit Marlena natürlich auch auf Englisch geführt habe, findest du unten in der Folgenbeschreibung auch nochmal einen extra Link zur Übersetzung dieser Folge. Ich freue mich, wenn ich euch im Webinar im November sehe, und wünsche euch jetzt erstmal viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Hi, Marlena.
Hello, Tina. How are you?
I'm so excited to have you here today. My guest is Marlena De Martini. She is a certified trainer and counselor, certified dog behavior consultant, canine separation anxiety trainer, and you also have a certification program for dog professionals. So you teach other dog professionals to work with separation anxiety cases. And I actually found you through your latest book, which is Separation Anxiety in Dogs, Next Generation Treatment Protocols and Practices. And I loved your book. I'm working with your book. I know a lot of other trainers, and also actually people just who just work with their own dogs, who've been working with your book successfully. So I am so excited to have you here. Welcome to the Fair Dogs Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here as well.
Yeah, and you're also kind of coming to Germany. I mean, just virtually, but you're coming to Germany in November, on November 16th. I can't believe that we're doing this, because you're actually going to be here for a webinar. Of course, we'll be speaking English. You will be speaking English, but we have all kinds of help to translate things. We'll have a recording with German subtitles. I will be translating some questions live if people don't know how to ask their questions in English. And we'll have some keywords on your presentation slides, and then everything will be translated afterwards. So you will be available. Your content will be available to the German audience. And I'm so happy that you're going to be there.
I'm really looking forward to it as well.
All right. Now that we're done with this organizational stuff, which is exciting, but it's organizational, we're actually going to get to what we were planning for today, which is 5 questions that I get to ask you. And I'm actually just going to dive right in, because I know you're going to have a lot to say about these things. So let me just go ahead and ask the first question, which is, what is the most frequently asked question about separation anxiety that you get all the time, and what's your response?
Well, it's funny, because I have 2 responses, really. The most frequent question that I get asked from your average client is different than the most frequent question that I get asked from the average trainer. Most clients want to know, how long is it going to take before my dog can be left alone comfortably? And that's the golden question, isn't it? And we all wish that we had some fairy dust and magic wands to be able to make it go as quick as possible. But my answer to your average dog guardian is that the training is likely to take longer than you wish it would, but it's not likely to take as long as you are afraid it might. I tell people to really think in terms of months, not weeks, but also to think in terms of months, not years. So it is the dog that is setting the pace of the protocol, and we have to listen to the dog in order to be effective with accomplishing resolution. So that's the first question. And then the trainers, whenever I present, all the trainers want to know, how do we prevent separation anxiety? And that is also a big question. And funny, for me, prevention is a word that I actually find concerning. Since we don't know the specific cause of separation anxiety, we can't explicitly prevent it from occurring, but we can definitely set our dogs up for success surrounding alone time. We can optimize them for learning that alone time is safe and is comfortable. But prevention is a word that always makes me worry, because if someone said, well, you obviously didn't do everything right, therefore your dog has separation anxiety. And that's not necessarily true, since there is a genetic component behind this issue.
Yes. And would you say it's still possible to minimize the risk by taking some of those measurements that you would then propose? Or do you think it makes more sense to kind of have that mindset of, okay, it might happen, and then if it happens, that's fine, I'm going to deal with it? Or where do you probably fall somewhere in between?
Yeah, I feel like it is so important to give our puppies, our adult dogs, our adolescents, at whatever age, whatever point in time we get them, I feel like it's so important to give them that sort of metaphorical soft place to land and introduce alone time in short increments in a very safe manner, so that from the very beginning that they start to live with us, they learn that, oh, alone time, no big deal. It's only 15 minutes when she goes and gets her coffee in the morning. And then that becomes, oh, alone time, it's no big deal, it's only an hour when she goes to the grocery store. And then, oh, alone time, it's only a couple of hours when she runs errands. So we sort of, over the course of a little bit of time, we show them that those alone time increments are safe, starting with smaller increments that the puppy or adult dog can handle.
Yeah, and it's kind of the light version of what the training would look like if they would actually have separation anxiety. Or I guess it's kind of assuming that not separation anxiety, but just not wanting to be alone would be the default, and we'll have to ease every dog into it. And then, but for some dogs, it's harder. And then we would call those the separation anxiety cases.
Right. I mean, it's interesting to me that separation anxiety is actually evolutionarily appropriate for puppies, right? They do cry if they are separated from the litter or are separated from the mom. And so it's built in. It's absolutely built in there. And so many dogs just don't have enough familiarity or exposure to alone time until suddenly we leave to go to work for 8 hours the first time. And that can be overwhelming. So just saying, let's just protect this along the way and introduce it slowly, I think is a really good idea.
Yes. Thank you. Question number two. What frustrates you about the topic of separation anxiety?
So it's a little hard to say what frustrates me, because I love everything about it, right? But what, of course, I don't love is that there are dogs that are suffering, and we need to help them. But I think if I had to pick one thing that really frustrates me about separation anxiety, it's the fact that separation anxiety is a phobia, which means that it is completely irrational to those that are not experiencing it, but very, very real to the individual that is, which is in this case, the dog. And because it's so irrational, I think our average dog guardians are like, but I always come home. I don't understand. Why is he being so naughty? Those sorts of questions. And I understand, because it's just completely irrational to us why there would be such a tremendous level of fear and anxiety surrounding alone time. And then addition to that, we have to also remember that unlearning fear is a very systematic process for all animals, including humans, we fall into that category too. And we have to allow the learner to set the pace. And the criteria chosen are extremely specific to that one individual. We have to remember, because this is such an extreme fear, that learning is lawful, and we have to abide by those learning laws in order to be successful. And I think I find that frustrating, because it doesn't come very naturally to just most people to understand this very irrational issue.
I love that you're pointing that out, because I think as trainers, when we're familiar with separation anxiety cases, we kind of get used to that systematic approach, and then it does kind of come naturally to us. But then we also have to look into that perspective of people coming into it and not knowing too much about it, and having to get used to that system and abiding by those laws, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
Right.
Question number three, which is so much happier than question number two. What gives you butterflies when it comes to separation anxiety?
Well, this is an easy one in some ways, although I could talk for days about all the things that give me butterflies when it comes to separation anxiety. But I think my favorite is every little milestone achieved with the client, with the dog. Each one, the smallest to the largest, they all make my heart so happy every single time. I don't think I would have ever imagined, prior to specializing in separation anxiety for the last over two decades, I don't think I would have ever imagined that watching a dog that was previously distressed about alone time, watching them sleep through an absence or just snuggle in the couch cushions or, you know, something like that, it's the most rewarding experience for me. Having said that, though, I think the biggest butterflies are seeing people truly learning to read their dog's body language and attend to their dog's needs. You know, prior to working with us, people are saying, well, he's upset when he starts howling. And then we start to teach them that, oh, he's starting to get upset well before the howling starts. And so we can identify that body language. And once you see it, you cannot unsee it, right? So then you can say, huh, I'm going to clip my dog's nails. And he did that thing with his lips and his tongue. And oh, and he's tilting his head the way he does when he used to be upset about a long time. And so we can read that body language in every aspect of the dog's life and be able to take care of his or her needs very carefully.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because the first part of your answer has to do with the process when you're with the clients and you're going through the training with them and you're just so happy about every milestone. But then at the end of the training, I just love that feeling when you know that you can let them go and you know they'll be fine doing their own thing, because they learned how to read the body language and understand their dog, and on the one hand feel safe with their accomplishments, but at the same time just be aware of changes that might still go on, and just be there and still have a look at it. Yeah, I totally agree. Number four, what is the biggest light bulb moment for clients during the separation anxiety training process?
So I think the biggest light bulb moment for clients throughout the training, particularly in the beginning, is the time when they start to understand that the dog's threshold is not the same as their threshold. And I kind of just alluded to that, right? So for us as humans, when the dog is showing these big, loud feelings that cause us to be upset, right? That's what we are considering. Commonly we are considering threshold. Those big, loud, robust feelings that come up that make us upset. But that means that the dog is actually well past the threshold that they need to be working beneath, that the dog needs to be below those indicators that show that anxiety is escalating. When the dog starts to show small signs of distress and that they're increasing, they're getting more frequent, they're getting louder, they're getting more intense, we should no longer expose them further. And we're always, always identifying those body language and behaviors that that will allow us to help the dog to learn to feel safe. And I think it's a big light bulb moment. We see this in other behaviors too, in for instance, reactivity. The human doesn't want the dog barking and lunging at the end of the leash, and that's what they've called us to help them with. But we don't want the dog to be showing signs of discomfort, stress, etc. So it's very similar in this kind of training. And I love when people identify it with us and then start to understand that their dog can set the pace of the training.
Definitely. And then sometimes you kind of need to catch the people, the humans, in the process when they come to that realization that their dog might have been suffering more than they thought, that they were not being naughty and controlling, but really suffering. And then you kind of need to go from there. It's a big light bulb moment, but sometimes it can be quite painful, I think.
I agree. But I very commonly tell clients, now that we know what we know, this is the last time your dog will ever have to experience those feelings. And, taking time to help people absolve that guilt and those feelings that, that they didn't realize their dog had been suffering, but reminding them that from now forward, we don't have to put him or her in that situation to be suffering any longer.
Definitely. Question number 5. Since you're also working with trainers, I would like to know what is the biggest light bulb moment for the trainers that you're working with during the program that you have going online. I think the certification program for separation anxiety trainers, or right, them becoming separation anxiety trainers with that program.
That's right. Well, funny enough, one of the big light bulb moments for trainers is actually also understanding thresholds. You know, when we start the program, we tell people, just think in your mind, see this video, what would you think the dog's threshold is? And you don't need to tell us, just think about that. And then as we move through the course, we kind of refer back to that at times and say, when we first started, there were 10 of us in this class, and we asked you to think about where the threshold was, and you said, and you in your mind said, it's there, or it's there, or it's there. And we probably had 10 different descriptions of what the dog's threshold was, right? And what's so interesting is that we take a really deep dive and get pretty detailed and nuanced about threshold, because we are commonly talking about a threshold that is actually more in the panic and fear response, whereas in we need to be talking about the threshold where the dog starts to feel stimulus aversiveness, right? But there's also the threshold of perception, and there's also a sort of ambiguous threshold between perception and stimulus aversiveness threshold. So we go through and identify each and every one of those pieces of a threshold and when and where we will be incorporating any of them at any given time. I also think that as a light bulb moment, there's a couple of other aspects. I think people in the program are typically surprised at the beginning that using food and separation anxiety training is not the answer. And also surprised that confinement is also not necessarily going to be ideal for separation anxiety. And then lastly, I think the students really learn a lot about implementing variability into their training. It is so human nature to say, oh, today we did 30 seconds. That means tomorrow I'm going to do 45, and then I'm going to do a minute and a half, and then I'm going to do 3 minutes. And that's actually not the way with which the training proceeds. There has to be considerable variability and randomization in the difficulty that the dog is experiencing.
Yeah, we all do like a good system and things being in order. And that's just kind of how our brain works. But we'll have to put a lot of thought into making sure that we have that variability to really have success. Yeah, that's definitely something that I also learned from your book.
That's wonderful.
Awesome. I have a bonus question. So you knew about the questions beforehand that I already asked you, but I have one additional one that you didn't know about. And it's a question that's quite common. I still like to ask it because it always gives me one of those light bulb moments. So my bonus question to you is, if you could go back in time 20 years, what would you tell your younger self when it comes to dog training in general or separation anxiety specifically?
Yeah. 20 years. Wow. That's 22 years ago was when I started dog training. So if I were to be able to go back 20 or 20 plus years, I think I would sit myself down and say, stop being afraid, stop being afraid. It took me 12 years of intensive research and considerably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of separation anxiety cases before I felt confident enough to write that first book that I wrote. And I trembled every moment of writing that book, not being sure that this was something that people would want to hear or that people would be interested in. And it took a lot. It took a lot out of me. And I wish that I could go back and say, don't be afraid. It's okay. It'll be okay. People will judge you whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's right in the middle, people will judge you. And it's okay that they judge you, right? And it obviously, retrospectively, it turned out well and published the second book. And we have over 200 certified separation anxiety trainers all over the world. So, I mean, things worked out okay.
Definitely. I'm so glad that you're not afraid anymore because you are all out there with your book, with your certification program, going international with your webinars, coming to Germany in November. So yeah, I'm really, really glad that that changed over the course of time, but still being able to go, or like if it would be possible to go back and tell yourself that, then it's kind of like a calming thought. Yeah, kind of like healing a little bit. But I totally understand. I love that response. Thank you so much, Milena. I am so looking forward to our webinar on November 16th. I will be putting all the information in the info box of this podcast episode so that people will be able to see where they can register. And I will also be publishing a blog article and translate everything that we were talking about. I would like to already say thank you and goodbye and leave the last thought up to you.
Okay, well, thank you. And before I say goodbye, I just want everyone to truly know that separation anxiety can absolutely be resolved. It is so, so rich in its experience for the dog, for the human, for the trainer, for everyone. And while it is slow, the progress is certainly something to behold. And I can't tell you how rewarding it is to work with these dogs and to help them find that peaceful resolution to their alone time distress. So I hope others will join us for the webinar and learn more about how to help these dogs.
Thank you so much. I'll be seeing you in November then.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.